A look at the U.S. Assured Club improvements at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. And we come up to Lucas Oil Stadium, Jaguars Day inside the media center. Gus Bradley at the podium this morning. He made the rounds with the national media after Dave Caldwell this afternoon. He'll join us in just a moment. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Here's what's up today on Jaguars.com Live. Jags Day at the podium. We'll recap the Jags executives, what they said today to the national media here in Indianapolis. GM Dave Caldwell joins us on set, and we'll get to some questions for the Ozone. And we're joined by John Osier and General Manager Dave Caldwell. What's up, Johnny? What's up, Dave? What's
How
up?
How are we doing?
Good. It sounds like Dave's got some questions for the Ozone before
okay,
we start.
Go for it. Why he always gets to sit in the middle.
This was an issue. PK put me in the middle of it.
Oh, I got you. All right.
This is a late change.
I wanted to be on the side, so... Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So you missed the middle. You want to be in the middle?
Well, I just figured it'd be easier to talk to you and him, but I guess we could just
It's going to take.
I could just stay out of it if you want.
All right, sure.
Let's get to it. I mean, this is always a big day in the off season. You kind of set the tone moving forward a little bit. Do you like this kind of thing? Is this your scene?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like the icing on top of the cake, you know, for us scouts and the personnel people is to really say, hey, we were right on this guy, or we better go back and do some more research on this guy. That 4.740 for that wide receiver wasn't very good. But it's a great evaluation tool for teams.
At its core, because all the media talk about how things need to change in the combine, but at its core, for you, the combine isn't about all this.
No.
It's about being on the field today. Has it really changed all that much for you, or...
Well,
just the periphery that's changed.
It hasn't changed much at all for us. It's a little bit more well organized. Jeff Foster does a great job in organizing interviews and workouts, and they're on time. I remember early in my career that the workouts were supposed to start at 9, they would start at 9:45. But Jeff has done a great job on that aspect. But you know, you can't lose sight of why we're here. And this is a football event, and as long as if we make change that it's for the right reasons, I'm okay with it. But let's not just make change to make change and because of that.
People are actually throwing out the idea of having some contact here, having some drills like that. Any thoughts on things that could improve it? Or
I think that would be tough. I think you know, you're going to open up players to injuries, and you know, this is not the time where you want players to get injured. And so I think that would be tough, and to finding the players to actually commit to that, and I think would be a challenge.
Well, that's the thing too. You want to make sure they've gotten the participation level up way over what it was a decade ago.
Sure.
And you want to make sure you don't lose that, right?
Right. That's right.
Dave Caldwell with us, Jaguars GM on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. You know, that you always said you want to build through the draft. That's the main part of your offseason every time. But for the first time, free agency might be almost as important as the draft. Is it getting close now, or is this the year that it overtakes the draft?
I don't think it'll ever overtake the draft. I think the draft is critical for sustainability and for long-term success. But we need some quick fixes along our defensive side of the ball. So if we can find that in free agency, and then we can focus on the draft where we can draft guys that don't have to come in right away and be an impact player, I think that's an ideal situation. That's a sign that you're becoming a very good football team.
Somebody asked you at the podium earlier, is it fun having money to spend? And what's the fun and the challenge of having money to spend?
Yeah. The fun is that you know you have it.
Yeah.
The challenge is actually finding it, the people to spend it on.
Okay.
So.
Now, I've asked this a couple of times already walking over here, Dave, but with the salary cap going up and with more teams having more money, is this free agency period maybe a little more difficult than you anticipated it would be a year ago?
Yeah, it is. And I think you have to proceed with caution, because if teams have all this money and cap space and the guy hits a market,
right,
you have to start asking questions, why don't they want them? And you have to look at buying opportunities where teams are forced to let guys go, like we did with Julius Thomas last year, mm-hmm. Jared Odrick, where teams just didn't have the cap space to sign their guys. And we were able to pick some of those guys up, and they worked out well for us.
What are the first few hours of that like when you're calling agents? Are you trying to sell, or are you getting the idea now that when you call, they get what's going on?
Yeah, they get what's going on. And I think, you know, we've been reluctant to return any phone calls, but you get to the point now where agents are starting to reach out to you and say, hey, you know, my guy may have interest there. We like what's going on. And that's been real, real exciting mm-hmm. for our guys and for our coaching staff to say, hey, you know what? We don't have to sell guys. We don't have to overpay. Although you're always going to overpay in free agency.
Right.
But you don't have to overpay the premium, I guess you could say.
You just mentioned overpaying, and I know from talking to you over the years that deep down, you would rather just draft all the time.
Yeah.
If free agency didn't have to happen, you'd be fine with it.
I'd rather take
Does
my
it ever call
March,
you just
March
writing
9th.
That check? I mean, I know you're not writing it, but when you see the prices that happen and you deep down know.
I kind of equate it to buying a new car right off the lot at face value. You know? You're going to buy it, it's going to depreciate $5,000, but you're glad you have
right.
it, and you're excited you get to drive
it's cool.
a new car, yeah. But you know it's not a wise investment.
Social media questions. I know you're a big social media guy.
Sure,
Dave. You're all over Twitter and Facebook.
Yep. Ozone.com is my handle.
Is that it? Good to know.
That must be why it's so bad.
The secret's out.
I have like 3 followers.
Nice. Me too.
Hodari11 asking you on Twitter, what's the most important character trait you're looking for in your evaluation of each combine player? You have 30 interviews. What's the character trait?
Probably competitiveness. You know, guy's competitive. He'll be competitive on the field, but, you know, he'll be competitive off the field to do the right things, too.
Another question. I think you just answered this from Tekken Is My World on Twitter. Curious question. Why do you hate free agency? Heard you say it in an interview last year, and I think we just heard you say it right here.
That's right, yeah.
So there you go.
Do we need to reiterate it?
No, that's okay. We can just hit rewind on the video. Let's go to Instagram now. You're also on there, Dave, I know. Peyton Oliver 12, is it deeper at defensive back or defensive end and edge rusher? And is trading down an option if you guys are asked?
Defensive back is deeper than defensive end in this year's draft. And part of the reason we took Dante Fowler last year is looking at the edge rushers this year. It wasn't a great crop of young underclassmen coming out. And trading back is always an option. Trading up is always an option.
I know you're never going to answer specifics and we wouldn't ask about the draft guys. But philosophically, are you more of a pass rusher guy than a secondary guy, if all things are equal? Does that get into the quarterback? Is that your thing?
It's funny you ask that because we've had a lot of internal discussion about
right.
that over the last year. And there's two schools of thoughts. There's some D coordinators that feel like, hey, if you have the back end, it gives your pass rushers an extra half second to get to the quarterback. And then there's others that feel like if you have the pass rushers, that it makes your back end. Ideally, you like to have really good front end and back end. So I think for us, I think if the priority for us would be to get the pass rushers first, and then it's easier to find the back end guys.
So who you taking?
Well,
good answer.
Crickets. Well done, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Dave
Caldwell,
thank you.
Jags GM, joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Join us the rest of the week here at the Combine in Indianapolis. Our coverage continues through Saturday. Jaguars.com Live. It's tomorrow at noon. Head coach Gus Bradley will join us. And much more to come behind the scenes here in Indianapolis. JP Shadrick with John Osia. We're live at the Media Center at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Our thanks to Dave Caldwell, a popular man always, but certainly today after he steps on the podium. He was just with the Pro Football Talk people before us. He's going to make the run down the line here after he joins us on set today. A busy day today, of course, when both your coach and your GM are talking on the same day. That's a lot of news.
Well, it is, and it's always fascinating to talk to Dave about free agency because he grew up under Bill Polian and he grew up under Thomas Dimitroff, and these are guys who just deep down would rather never hit free agency. The draft is where you build your core. They're hardcore NFL guys, and they get that that's the way you got to do it. So it's always interesting as he goes in, because he knows that improvement has to come this year through free agency. He knows there are guys out there that they have to be able to get. And as he said, there's some quick fixes that are needed. Yet at the same time, it's going to be a difficult market out there this year. It's what I'm writing about on Jaguars.com in a few minutes. And he has a very tough task, and I think he knows that. But he's the right guy to do it. The Jaguars have built to a point where they can sell free agents. And I think for him the question is, how much do I spend on this crop, and what is this crop really? Those are the answers that he has to finalize over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you got to overpay guys. You may not know really what they are until they arrive
and
on campus.
Even That's though right. you think you know, even though you've seen the names on the internet and they've seen these guys on film, you don't really know what the guy's all about even into the first few weeks, even in the first year you're learning about guys. So it's a tough way to build. Nobody likes doing it.
Interesting thoughts about the combine, the future of some of the drills here at the combine, too. A former scout sitting right there. So he has a scout's heart, a scout's eye, and it's interesting to see his perspective on this event.
Well, and it's always interesting talking to people who are around the combine. that there's really not a whole lot of desire for some people to change a whole lot of it. Maybe get a few more football things involved. But I read somewhere today somebody suggested having one-on-one pass rushing drills or having contact. No way is that going to happen because the players aren't going to do it. The agents aren't going to recommend it. Yeah. And you had a big problem with the combine for a long time of players not participating. Now, most people who have followed it on NFL Network for 10 years don't really realize that's the case because since NFL Network came along, players were sort of shamed into participating because you didn't want to be that guy who on TV wasn't running and having people talking about it. But before that, it was a huge problem getting first-rounders to participate even in the 40 because they wanted to do it on their pro day. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you had contact involved where all of a sudden there's a risk of getting hurt? There's a risk of something happening like that. So I don't see any way in the world that happens. Maybe a few more football-type drills, but I'm just not sure how much needs to change with it. I know Belichick said it. I get that, but maybe not too much.
Let's backtrack a little bit. Gus Bradley spoke earlier today here on Jaguars.com. The archive of that is up. Your notes, your story off of that press conference is up as well. A few things stood out there, right? I mean, they like the pass rushers in this year's draft class after looking at them a little bit more. A little talk about Dante Fowler and his recovery earlier today. Brandon Linder, a candidate to play center. That was really one of the lead things.
Yeah, and usually when the head coach talks here, it's not as newsy as when the GM talks. So there wasn't a whole lot of earth-shattering things out of Gus this morning. I don't think anybody expected there to be. But he did mention a possibility that is being floated more and more, which is moving Linder from right guard into center because they're trying to figure out some way to address the interior of the line and make that more solid. And I think there are multiple options. I don't think the fact that people are writing that today means automatically Brandon Linder is going to be snapping the ball every snap next year. But it's a possibility because he's your best offensive lineman, you think. They consider the center position the second most important position on the offensive line behind left tackle. So the question is, do we get our best lineman in the spot that we think is the most important? Because we have Can who can move into either side. And the other X factor, I think, is free agency at the center position this year is kind of eh. At the guard position, it's much less eh. It's eh. So there's more there at that position. And I think they want freedom going into the draft. I don't think there's any set way they have to go with this, but they need one more guy to come in and compete. It's just
when you work with words are your work. That's the way that works.
No doubt.
Hey, speaking of words being your work, let's do some more ozone questions.
Oh, I can't wait.
This is your favorite.
I never get to do that enough.
You should do that more, in fact.
I should do that. I should answer a question from fans every day.
That's a great idea.
Write that down.
Maybe it'll stick. Let's go to ozone question number one. This is from Preston in Oakville, Connecticut. Assuming that the... that's right. On day three, what would you think of the Jags drafting Kelvin Taylor if he's available on day three? It's a Jags fan dream for all the wrong reasons, but it would be great to see that name in teal and black.
Absolutely.
Could it help the backup running back spot?
Well, it's hard to say. And I wrote about Kelvin this morning or last night. And it was interesting hearing him talk because when you close your eyes and listen to him, you can hear some Fred in him. He's definitely his father's son, same voice. And as I sat there, I kind of hearkened back to 1998, making me feel old when I covered Fred as a rookie. And we all know him. What a wonderful guy he is. It'd be great to have his son around and do well. And what a great story. I got some emails this morning. Oh, it would be too tough on him because there's too many expectations. I don't get that feeling because Kelvin Taylor is not going to be a first-round draft pick. I don't think he's coming into the league among great expectations. So I don't think there would be that comparison of people thinking he was going to be Fred. Fred Taylor is, one of the best 15, 20, 25 running backs ever to play. As I wrote last night, Kelvin Taylor could be great and not be as good as his dad.
That's right.
So the expectation thing, I don't necessarily see that. I just think it's a long shot because there's 32 teams out there. But if he comes to the Jaguars, hey, cool. And I think he could be a good supplement, sure. But I don't think he would be a guy who necessarily factors in to the frontline running back equation automatically.
But, you know, if he were in Jacksonville, there'd be a lot of pressure on him, right? Or would there?
Yeah, see, I don't know if there would be. I mean, maybe from some circles, but people who really know football, I think he's a different kind of back than his dad. I don't think he would be coming in. When Fred Taylor came in, there was pressure. When Fred Taylor came in, my sports editor, after 2 weeks of not doing very well, he wanted me to write that he was a bust. I did. I was glad. So, but there was pressure because he was a number 9 overall pick. Kelvin's not going to come in as a top 15 draft pick. So the expectation level at that point, I'm sure there would be some who did the comparison, but anybody who really knows football, I think it would be a very reasonable expectation on him. So I don't really see that as being a big deal. If he became the starting quarterback, maybe, but he's not going to be a quarterback.
Maybe not.
No, probably not.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows?
You never know down the line. Question number 2 for the Ozone today. This is from Jimmy in Jacksonville. How do you feel about Miles Jack at number 5 if Bosa and Ramsey are gone? Jack's a guy, as we talked about the other day, that is pretty versatile. Yeah. He's played some running back at UCLA. He's about 246 on the outside right now.
Well, and I asked Dave Caldwell before he came on here, how confident are you that you're going to get a player you love at number 5? And he said very. So to me, that means you like Ramsey, you like Bosa, and I'm putting words in his mouth, but that's what I'll do. And it probably means that you really like a guy like Buckner and Jack, and DeForest Buckner from Oregon, the defensive lineman, and Miles Jack. So I think Jack would probably be up in that group, and I think that's fine. You know, if you believe that he is a Luke Kuechly type of player who can cover that way, I don't know that he would automatically start immediately in terms of being in that 4-3 scheme automatically on first down, but he can make you better on third down, which I've been saying for a couple of weeks. If you get better on, if a player can make you, this pass defense better, more power to him, because that's what the defense needs. So I kind of sense that it won't be linebacker at 5, but if it was, I could see the logic.
It's a lot longer answer live than it is in print.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nature of it, I guess. Right?
Coughing it up.
Yeah. John, well done, and we'll look forward to your writing coming up.
Yeah, and great to have Dave on. Yep. You know, it's not an automatic that he necessarily has to come on here. So I appreciate him, and again, appreciate him always being candid with us. It's a big help.
Thanks to Dave Caldwell, for John Osier, and everyone involved. This is J.P. Shadrick. Stick with us here on Jaguars.com. Busy day at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. That's it for Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.